The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a number.
Of a numbers game at Visa. These betting net. Visa.com. Card Radio. YouTube TV. SiriusXM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander on this Friday, day after Christmas. Hope you had a great Christmas and a safe and fun Christmas with family, without. I don't know. Some people out there might not want to be with family, as I said yesterday. I don't want to assume. I don't want to assume everybody wants to be with family.
I just talked to my family yesterday. I'm going to go see my mom today. It was a little bit easier to go see her today than it was yesterday.
She's in Pahrump?
She is in Pahrump, so I'm going to make the, what's about a 50-minute drive from where I live.
Nice. She ever come to visit you, or is it always one
way?
Well,
so she actually works in Vegas.
Okay.
So she makes the drive every day. So she retired from the school district, went up to Idaho, and then came back here to Nevada. She likes the kind of the open space, so that's why she went out to Pahrump.
Okay. Still to come on the show, Dr. Bob with his play of the week. Sia Najad joins us, his week 17 thoughts. And Jeff Parlay, the Grover Cleveland producers, who is now the co-host of Cofield & Company here on ESPN Las Vegas locally. There you go, Jeff Parlay. Getting it done on the Sports Talk radio station here in town. And Parlay, it was suggested, it was Matt Hicks behind the scenes who made the best suggestion. I wish I was smart enough to have thought of this myself. Parles is joining us for two segments. And because he's the Grover Cleveland of producers, Matt Hicks said what we should have done was have him do one segment, then do something else, and have him come back for a second segment in tribute to Grover Cleveland.
Just have him sit the entire segment.
I wish I was that clever. Maybe we should do that. Maybe like, hey, Jeff, we got to do something else. Can you come back in the following segment? So we'll do that coming up later. We get tweets of Beanie the Book. John Harris at Dream Crusher says this: please stop talking about WWE like it's a real sport. John, I apologize to you personally. The WWE got a little out of hand. I just wanted Wyatt to tell me about John Cena, and he really enjoys wrestling, so maybe it went a little long.
You can't leave it short, though. I did it about 2 minutes.
You did fine. Yeah. You did fine. He just didn't want to talk about it.
We can do the history of the WWE if you want.
Coach Brian, could you have been less interested in Wyatt's wrestling segment? I was interested in the first part. I just wanted to do the top five, and they got a little out of hand, like I said. Larry Fresh. After the Raiders win on New England, I jumped the gun and I placed an over 6.5 win season win total. I hedged a few weeks back with under 3.5. Safe to say I'm screwed both ways at this point, right? No, you're good on the under 3.5. You think they're going to win out, the Raiders? How motivated is that Chiefs team to win next week? Let's go Giants. I think you're okay, Larry. Unless you think the Raiders are going on a two-game win streak, I think you're good to go. LFC title records. See, this is what I was worried about. It's the worst thing we've ever done. I think we've caused havoc. LFC title records, who tweeted earlier, he's making the drive.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, thanks, JVT, for making this 22-hour road trip with my children a little more interesting with your breaking news. Would you like to add anything about the Easter Bunny? I was worried about this. Oh, no. Okay.
Hey, don't worry. The Tooth Fairy still exists.
Oh, God. I hope we didn't cause widespread havoc. All right, let's continue with Are We Sure? What do we got?
All righty, we'll kind of bounce around here. Are we sure with the quarterfinals starting up next week that Indiana, Wes Reynolds' Indiana Hoosiers, won't be a one and done in the college football playoff?
Are we sure that they won't be a one and done?
Yeah.
I'm relatively sure because I think I've got them to win it all. Can Alabama upset them? Of course they can. But I think, even if they don't cover, I think Indiana figures out a way. Indiana is just... If it was just a different brand, right? If there was a different logo on that helmet, let's say they did the exact same thing they did, but they were Notre Dame or Alabama, no one would have this skepticism about them. Nobody would. They've made all the plays. Mendoza's made all the plays. So am I 100% sure? No. There is always that chance of an upset, but I think they get through.
So speaking of the team that they did beat to win the Big Ten championship, are we sure that Ohio State can repeat as national champions?
Are we sure that they can? I'm not 100% sure that they can. Because, again, I think Indiana's live. A lot of people believe that follow college football much more passionately than I do, that Miami can win it. Some people think Texas Tech can win it. I mean, it's not as wide open as the NFL, but it's pretty darn wide open as far as college football standards are concerned as well.
All right,
I left out Oregon. Some people think Oregon can do it.
Yeah, and I think what was on the college football pod, I help out with Tim Murray, they were very high on Oregon as well.
Yeah, we should actually do it the opposite way. Who do people not think? Like, who have I not heard people say could win it? Ole Miss might be the only answer to that question at this point of the remaining seven, because even a Bama or two are out there. Actually, not so much Bama, but those two. Yeah.
All right, this one, I'm always excited when somebody brings this in for Gil, and I know he's going to enjoy this question. Are we sure there isn't a better fast food breakfast item than a McDonald's hash brown?
Oh, no, there's nothing better. It's a perfect bit of fried food. The texture of it, the way that it sticks together. Wow, I didn't expect that one. It's the best. I mean, we're not sure because McDonald's, I don't know if you've had a McDonald's breakfast all around, but it's all good. Sausage McMuffin with egg, are you kidding me?
The McGriddle is the best fast food breakfast item, bar none. Well, that's the only thing I get from McDonald's.
Because McGriddle has like syrup in it, right?
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, I mean, come on. That's cheating.
That's not cheating.
Just like, they
designed it perfectly.
Okay. All right.
All right. Here we go. You were talking with JVT about this, and you mentioned to me you made a couple bets. Are we sure the Spurs are threats to win the Western Conference?
I am absolutely sure about this. And again, I'll just repeat what I said earlier. The only reason I didn't make the bet on my initial instinct in the NBA Cup semis is because Kelly and Drew sort of, and those are basketball guys, and I respect what they have to say. I could sense, they didn't really say it out loud, but I could sense that they thought I was getting a little ahead of my skis on that Spurs thought, right? Because my comment was, I just felt more confident about the Spurs on one end of the court than I did OKC in that Cup semi. Then they beat the Thunder again, right? Spurs do. Just a few days ago. They come back yesterday. By the way, Carl Sack, who we have on the show, NBA guru, Carl Sack moves NBA lines. He put out as one of his plays the day before the game. He doesn't usually put out plays the day before, but because the NBA was dark the day before Christmas, he went ahead and put out his plays. He had yesterday, and Carl Sack's as good an NBA bettor as you're likely to find, Thunder. He went with the Thunder minus the points. Now, I do not want to sit here and say I know more NBA than Carl Sack does. I certainly do not. But on this one occasion, I immediately texted the group chat. I was like, oh, dude, I don't like that pick at all, right? And Fezzik was like, come on, it's Sack. You just got to play it. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Now, was I frisky enough to play the Spurs preflop? No, I respected Sack's opinion too much to do so. But in the first quarter yesterday, when the Spurs went up six, I was like, that's it. I bet the Spurs plus six in game. Wish I had played the money line, right? But I played them plus six in game. And then I'm like, I'm making bets. 19-1 to win it all. And then 125-1 if the Jason Tatum thing happens, where he comes back and the Celtics seem flourish. I might even add a Spurs against the Knicks just to have the less sexy one. Mm-hmm. But right now, I bet them Spurs Celtics at 125-1. Again, no exacta, just to meet in the NBA final. Of course, you're hoping for no injury. That's obviously a thing. But I don't have to see anymore.
I agree. They look good. And when you've beat the best team in the NBA three times pretty convincingly, like, I'm very impressed with the Spurs right now.
Well, because that's the thing now. Because your notion is, oh, could they beat them in a best of seven? And the initial reaction for folks was like, oh, I don't know if the Spurs could beat them four times in a seven-game span. I'm like, maybe the other way around.
Yeah.
Can OKC beat that team four times out of seven? Mm-hmm. OKC barely got by Indiana last year, remember? So, anyway.
All right, we got a couple more here. This one's my funny one. Are we sure that Todd Wishnev will speak into the mic properly?
Oh, my God.
On the Megapod.
How many times did I have to tell him to speak into the mic? And then the one time he did find the mic is when he was doing his screaming thing. I'm like, okay, that time I wish you hadn't found the mic. Yes.
Because I just saw the tweets from earlier this week. So.
Goulet came in the studio, the Wynn studio afterwards. He goes, you could have told him that 15 times, not five. I was like, I know.
Oh, that's funny. These other two, you know, I looked at the calendar, Gil, and I'm like, wow, you know, we're at the end of December, and that means January's coming. That means tennis
yes.
is back here.
Yes.
Australian Open. So we know your love for Iga. So are we sure that Iga Swiatek can win the Australian Open?
Iga who? I'm sorry?
Swiatek.
Swiatek?
Swiatek.
Swiatek? Is that what you're talking about? Or what's the question? Are we sure she can?
Yeah, she can.
We're sure she can.
Okay.
Oh, we're 100% sure she can. She's the second shot. Sabalenka's the short shot. Then it's Iga. Absolutely, I'm sure she can. Will she is another matter. She's never won the Australian Open. She has won all three other majors, should be pointed out now. But that's the one that has eluded her. And again, tennis is funky like that because unlike golf, when the golf season starts and there's not a major until April, right? They wait till the Masters. Tennis is like, we're back. Here's a major in 3 weeks. So it's a little quirky. But yeah, she can do it.
All right, last one here. Are we sure somebody not named Jannik Sinner or Carlos Alcaraz can win the Australian Open on the men's side?
Oh, we are 100% sure that Yes, I'm 100% sure that someone not named them can win. I'm getting the double negatives and all that messed up. Nobody but Sinner and Alcaraz can win the Australian Open.
I know
there's, you know, João Fonseca, people got a little bit ahead, to use my expression from before, got a little bit ahead of their skis on him. Mm-hmm. He had a sort of more comeback to earth last 3 or 4 months of the tennis season last year. Could he have a resurgence? Absolutely. But Sinner is, the big news in tennis in the offseason was that Carlos Alcaraz broke up with his coach, Juan Carlos Ferreira. That is a out of nowhere development in tennis. That is, you know, you wonder, will Carlitos be as good in the years moving forward without him as his coach? Only time will tell. I'm not saying Carlos is going to fall off a cliff, but you do wonder in the short term, will it matter? I don't know. But as the year goes on and as the couple years go on, and we'll see who Carlos ends up as his coach, that's a big deal. And Jannik Sinner is the guy right now. But yeah, if it's not him, it's Carlos. There's nobody else. There's nobody else. Someone will eventually emerge, but right now it is a two-headed monster in men's tennis.
I was looking at the odds on DraftKings. I'm like, the third place guy in the odds is so far down. I believe it's Djokovic.
Djokovic is third. I mean, Djokovic is amazing, right? Djokovic got to all the semifinals in all four majors last year. That's insane at his age. 38 years old. Amazing. But yeah, he's not beating those guys. He's not beating them. Although, maybe he has one more major in him. He's got to get to 25. That's what he's trying to do. Coming back, NFL Week 17 next. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Wyatt Tomchek alongside. Hey, don't forget, as the official horse racing partner of VSiN, First Bet is built for bettors who demand more. First Bet isn't just about placing a bet, it's about helping bettors of all levels with proprietary AI handicapping tools that provide data-driven insights to help you make smarter bets. First Bet's in-app tools give you win, place, and show probabilities for each runner so you can quickly and easily identify good value plays and improve your ROI. Right now, you can take advantage of their limited-time $250 sign-up offer. To claim your bonus, use promo code VSIN250 when you sign up in the First Bet app or firstbet.com. That's promo code VSIN250. We get tweets. Beating the book, always appreciated. Buddhist man showing a little baby with a Santa hat said, what did that man say about Santa Daddy? Yeah. Ryan Thompson, I love the Are We Sure prompts being framed with double negatives in honor of Dan Dierdorf and Troy Aikman today. Are we sure the Packers can't not win the NFC North? That is my one beef with Wyatt about Are We Sure. I completely agree. Too many double negatives. I had to navigate the answers because I had to do the calculations negatives.
You said you're always ready for your defense. You're like a shortstop in the ready position. I was, okay. You let a couple ground balls go through then.
I did. You had a little knucklers.
I also, you know, the product of Nevada public education. So, you know, mix up words here a little bit.
The RGB. Gilly, I totally agree about the Netflix NFL fiasco. Their effort to blend traditional coverage with a Manning cast type alternate was weak at best and totally ruined the games. That said, the Snoop halftime show wasn't bad at all. Oh, I did miss that. But yeah, man, that's just, what were they doing? It was so bad. The audio quality was so bad. Chance Copperpot. Okay, so this is one of these tweets I don't understand, so it must have to do with a commercial. I'm sure I could listen to Marissa Tomei tell me about limited slip differential on a 1963 Pontiac Tempest any day of the week. Best sample for all segments on VSiN. Are we sure the NFC will be represented by the West in the Super Bowl?
That's what...
I am sure.
He said the AFC West?
He said, the question was, are we sure the NFC,
NFC West
will be represented by the West in the Super Bowl? And I hate to tell you, Wyatt Tomchek, Packers fan, but yes, I am sure.
It's all right. We just love the hate for the North.
Colin Murphy. JVT comes on and says that Santa isn't real, and then you say that wrestling is fake. What's next? Humans has never eaten fast food, and Peterson has never run a day in his life.
Actually, there. That's why I used the double negative. You said wrestling is fake, so there you go.
This is a scorched earth radio program this morning. I did not see this coming. Paul M., I think two factors will be huge for the OKC Spurs debate. Wemby injury, as he has missed chunks of games, for example, last year half season, for sure. For sure, it's a bet against a Wemby injury. And OKC has lots of assets, four number ones next NBA draft to pick up a piece. There's always that possibility. Todd Hoyer, are we sure we didn't not need Dan Dierdorf to help out with Are We Sure Today? Happy holidays. Oh, people don't like the double negatives, Wyatt. JVT's in online discussions with LFC title records about what the poor damage he's done to his children.
Who has more hate today? JVT ruining Christmas for everybody or me with my double negatives?
It's a toss-up at this point, Wyatt. There's still time. You can still get ahead. Still time.
Well, I will not do that ever again.
Okay. Let's stop it. Week 17, National Football League. Let us continue the games, of course, three behind us now for Thanksgiving. Three scintillating games. I think we all can agree to that. I didn't have a preflop in any of them. Saturday games, though, once again, we'll start there with the old NFL whip around on these. Ravens at Packers is the first of the two on Saturday. Is that correct? Is the Ravens-Packers the first of the two?
No, it's the...
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's Houston and...
Houston and the Chargers.
Yep.
Houston and the Chargers was the first game that I made a play on during guessing lines. I'm on the Chargers. I'm Oppo JBT. Drew's with me. Jeff Erickson's with me, among others, with the Chargers. I got him at -1 on guessing lines. I couldn't believe this wasn't three. Again, my opinion of the Chargers, admittedly, is higher than the market suggests. I made Super Bowl matchups with the Chargers this week. I believe if you go into the AFC playoffs, they've got the second-best quarterback in the conference. Josh Allen 1, Justin Herbert 2, and I think they got the third-best defense. And I think this matchup, I just don't know how the Texans' offense keeps up with the Chargers' offense, even though the Chargers are banged up and the Chargers are playing a great defense in the Texans. I just think that's the difference. I trust Herbert more than I do that Texans' offense. Chargers are the play for me here. Total 39.5. Anything for you here, sir?
I guess if I had to make a play, I'd go with the Chargers. Really trust Los Angeles. You know, Jim Harbaugh, being a Michigan guy, know how great he is as a head coach. And, man, Justin Herbert's got that grit to him. I mean, he's been beat up throughout the entirety of the season. He just keeps coming back. But
I hope Kelly's not listening.
Hey,
He loves himself some hating on Justin Herbert.
I don't understand the hate for Justin Herbert. Just because he has
I think Kelly's point is that he gets more of a... People will apologize more for Justin Herbert than they will the other quarterbacks. By the way, again, playoff implications. Texans can no longer be the number one seed. They can still win the AFC South. Chargers can not only still win the AFC West, they can still be the number one seed. So all of that's still in play, even though, again, the number one seed, it's on the Broncos racket in the AFC. Second game on Saturday, again, the Lions lose yesterday, so the Packers have clinched a playoff berth. We only have three playoff berths that are, again, seeding. We still have to do that jockeying for position, including the number one seeds. But in terms of who's in and who's out, all we have left now is one spot in the NFC, which is the NFC South winner. Will it be the Bucks or the Panthers? That's it. The other six have already been determined. And in the AFC, it's still Ravens, Steelers in the AFC North, and then there is one wild card spot available, but that's a mano-a-mano where the Texans' magic number is one versus the Colts. Any Colts loss, any Texans win, then we know the answer to that question as well. Ravens at Packers, so the Packers now, knowing that, right? So the Packers clinch a playoff berth with the Lions' loss yesterday, but they can still win the NFC North. They can still get as far up as number two seed. Packers are 4.5-point favorites against the Bears. Four and a half point favorites against the Ravens. The Ravens, as we just mentioned, any loss by them or any Steelers win, and they are donezo. So if the Ravens lose this game to the Packers, then the Steelers. Now, this is different with the Lions-Packers correlated parlay than it is with the Ravens-Steelers. Because remember, when the Lions lost yesterday, Packers are in, but the Packers can still advance in seeding, can win the division. If the Ravens lose this game to the Packers, the Steelers legit have nothing to play for the last 2 weeks because even though they win their division, they are locked in. They are locked into that worst playoff spot, number four position. So they're going to have a home playoff game against the number five team in the AFC. That's the story there. You like the Packers? Your Packers laying the points against the Chargers? Against the, against the Ravens?
I do, because also the Ravens are beat up. I believe Lamar Jackson is doubtful for the game. This is in Lambeau Field, and Green Bay still has a lot to play for because, as you mentioned, Green Bay has made the playoffs now three straight years. They're also staring at a seven seed for the third straight year, so they want to still keep alive that opportunity to win the NFC North and, more importantly, host a playoff game in January at Lambeau Field, one of the toughest places to play. So, yeah, I like the Packers here. It all depends on the injuries. Even with Malik Willis starting, I think Malik Willis is one of the top backups in the NFL, so I feel very confident with the Packers. But yet again, it's also will Zach Tom play, Evan Williams. Josh Jacobs is finally off the injury report for like the first time in like 10 months, it feels like. So that's just going to be the big thing is who's going to be healthy for Green Bay. But I think the Packers here, -4 is a good play.
I think there is a scenario where we have seen the last of Lamar Jackson playing for the Ravens.
That was on one of my Are We Sures, and I wish I would have used that for you.
It just feels like... It almost feels like it's mutual, and I'm completely reading tea leaves here and just sort of, whatever your expression is, reading between the lines or, just trying to, glean some information. If Lamar Jackson's got the back injury, so we don't know if he's playing here. Who knows if he'll play again this season? And then I just feel like what was his superpower? His superpower was his mobility. Mm-hmm. He becomes a pocket passer. What is he, average at best? And I don't know if the injuries are the cause of that this year or if this is just him past his prime now with those injuries.
I think it was said best yesterday on the Live Bet Christmas. It's just Lamar is just you can't trust him on the durability with his body. You're fine with his play, but can you trust him to play 17 games?
And where did I hear the rumor?
I believe it was the
rumor that he was playing video games in a meeting or something.
It was a story in the Baltimore Sun. John Harbaugh did address it, and he's like, I don't give any time for anonymous sources. But
right. That doesn't sound like a denial.
He said he has a great relationship with Lamar. But
I'm sure he does.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I think a team would definitely give out more than they should for Lamar Jackson.
Okay, let's go to Sunday morning now on this, going through the rest of the games on the schedule. I got nothing in the Ravens-Packers, but again, I'm on the Chargers in the first of the two games on Saturday. Sunday morning, first game is?
That would be what I wrote down, Buccaneers versus Dolphins.
All right, Buccaneers, again, still trying to get, they control their own destiny in the AFC South. Buccaneers, 5.5-point road favorites against the Dolphins, 6 now we're showing here at Circa. I want no part of this, but remember, Bucks lose, Panthers win, Bucks are done. So they got to keep that in mind. Quinn Ewers going for the Dolphins in that one. More Week 17, we'll just whip around, get our thoughts on all, and then we'll have Jeff Parles in here later on. Dr. Bob with his play. Sia Najad, it's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Looking for the perfect holiday gift or a smarter way to bet the biggest games of the season? VSiN's Holiday Special gives you VSiN Pro access through May 1st for just $79. You'll get daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app covering everything from bowl season and the NFL playoffs to March Madness and the Masters. Plus, you'll get our college football playoff betting guide featuring expert playoff brackets, power ratings, CFP, and bowl best bets, and access to game previews for every bowl game on VSiN.com. Give yourself the gift of smarter betting. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We get tweets beating the book. Let's see. Oh, Chris Heath let me know the Tomei reference earlier. The Tomei tweet was a reference to the Are We Sure intro. That's her. That's her on there. That's right.
Oh, I did not know that. I thought it was just birds.
No, that's the other one. I'm talking about like the intro to Are We Sure. That's Marissa Tomei talking. Yeah, Chance Copperbot says, the sample for the beginning of Are We Sure segment is Marissa Tomei in a famous scene from My Cousin Vinny. She goes into slip differential on cars, and to put it mildly, it's mesmerizing. Not a commercial, Gilly. It's part of your own show. Thank you for clarifying, Chance. Sometimes I get lost. Bill Buckle, if that is your real name, Bill. William Buckle. He says, just heard Wyatt's top five WWE. I've been a longtime fan for 60 years, he says. 60 years.
I trust his opinion more than mine. We'll get that started.
He says, I agree with most of the top five, but have to include Rowdy Roddy Piper in the top five. Great wrestler, one of the best trash talkers ever.
I would agree. One of the best trash talkers, best heels of all time.
You just like saying heels.
Yeah, bad guy. You like to be the bad guy, like Razor Ramon.
What'd you say?
You don't know Razor Ramon?
No, I want you to say it how you just said it.
Razor Ramon. I know how to roll my R's. That's the only good thing that I can do.
Do you have to roll the R in Razor?
I just, okay, unnecessary okay, rolls are.
Sounds know. Like an unnecessary roll. That's right. All right, back to the NFL. Week 17 slate again. Sia Najad, Dr. Bob, Jeff Parlay to come. Where do we leave off? Sunday morning.
Yeah, we left off with the, we did not leave off with the Buccaneers versus Dolphins.
That's where we left off. Next would be?
We got Patriots versus Jets.
All right, Patriots, Jets. This is, again, one of the biggest of spreads on the board. Next, you know, right alongside with the Broncos, Chiefs spread from yesterday. Patriots are 13.5-point favorites at the Jets. Patriots can still get the number one seed. Again, the Broncos control their destiny as far as the number one seed is concerned, but the Patriots win out and the Broncos lose next week. Then the Patriots are the team that will inhabit the number one seed. But as I will say for Survivor players again for next week, Patriots are probably one of those for the remaining nine survivors. If you are one of the four of the remaining nine survivors that has the Patriots available to you, you probably hold the Patriots till next week because the Patriots are hosting the Dolphins next week. There's not many. Week 18 is squirrely. A lot of teams, you don't know if they're going to play everybody, if they're going to sit because of implications. However, this plays out this weekend, we won't know who's alive, who's, you know, if it's only moving up seeding, we tend to overrate that as bettors and fans. Mm-hmm. Sometimes teams are like, yeah, we don't care if we're the three or two. And sometimes, by the way, they'd rather play who they think they're likely to play in a six or six, right? So it's, we can't ever count on that. There's only a few like really solid plays in week 18. So if you're a survivor player and you have the Patriots remaining, you may want to save them. Again, I said it earlier that the two teams that are sort of obvious survivor plays this week that still are good survivor plays next week based on whether you think they have something to play for, I think it's the Patriots and the Jags. The Patriots and the Jags, because the Patriots host the Dolphins and the Jags host the Titans. The person who has the Jags left absolutely has to save the Jags for next week. But anyway, Patriots are 13.5-point favorites at the Jets. I have no play here. I expect the Patriots to roll. Total's 43, so if you do the whole conflation between the spread and the total, what is that? Let's see here. Boop, 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 boop. That's about 20, excuse me. Yeah, it's about 28-15, we're talking, something like that. Can the Jets score 15 on this team? I guess. Garbage time, yeah. Maybe.
I was going to say about the Patriots, you know, we talk about using them for next week. You got to remember, New England still hasn't locked up the AFC East.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. So in the case of both the Patriots and the Jaguars, it looks like they will both have something to play for in the mm-hmm. Jaguars' case, even if not for the number one seed, to stave Houston off, perhaps. Yep. Or not. Maybe they will have it clinched. That's the other thing. Maybe the Jags won't have anything really to play for. So you have to, that's all part of those guys' calculus in Survivor. Next game?
This game I'm actually interested in, Gil, is the Seahawks versus the Panthers.
I'm on the Panthers. This was my second play on guessing lines. I bought it up to 7.5 on the Panthers. Panthers do well for me when I play them plus the points. Again, do we know if Bryce Young is good or bad at football? I'm not sure. Seahawks control their own destiny in the NFC for the number one seed, as does the Niners. Or as do the Niners, pardon me. So, Seahawks, again, play the Niners at San Francisco week 18. So, Seahawks trying to win this to keep hopes of the number one seed alive. But the Panthers, remember, have the Bucs on their tail in the NFC South. One Panthers win and one Tampa Bay loss. If that were to happen this week, unlikely based on numbers, but if it does, the Panthers would clinch the NFC South. If that doesn't happen, then it's for all the marbles for the final NFC playoff spot, the winner of the NFC South next week when the Panthers play the Bucs for the second time in 3 weeks. But I got the Panthers plus 7.5 here hosting the Seahawks.
You talk about sneaky teams in the playoffs. I think it could be Carolina. We don't know exactly what type of team it is. It's a roller coaster, but they're 5-2 at home. And remember, they went to Lambeau. They defeated the Packers. And then they had a very impressive win against the Rams. If I have to see Carolina in the playoffs at their spot, I'm terrified as a team, in my opinion.
I don't know about terrified, but I would definitely not take them lightly. Let's put it that way.
I know they're a better's nightmare because you can never figure them out. But I think they're a really, really decent team when they're on their P's and Q's.
Next.
I'm trying to see, kind of bounce around here.
Good use of P's and Q's, by the way.
Thank you.
Extra points for that.
You know, so it makes up for my poor English. Let's bounce around. We don't need to talk about the Giants Raiders. Eagles.
No. Give me the you score
do,
order.
You,
yeah.
You want to do? Okay, we'll do Giants versus Raiders.
We're already in the afternoon games?
Yes, we only have two afternoon games.
All right, only two afternoon games. Giants at Raiders, the bizarro Super Bowl. The loser will get the number one seed in the draft. Number one pick in the draft. Sorry, we were talking tennis a while ago. Loser, number one pick in the draft, and they will be on the clock for the April 23rd, 2026 NFL draft. And if it's the Giants, they won't want a quarterback because they've got theirs in Jackson Dart. That's how they're going with it. So maybe they trade out. If it's the Raiders, I think you do draft a quarterback, but which one? Raiders are one-point dogs. Brock Bowers, season-ending IR. So the Raiders are sort of calling it like, hey, let's not do anything to win this kind of thing. I think the Giants are the better football team, but would you want to get involved in this? Would you want to trust the motivations of these two teams? I wouldn't.
No, the only thing I can think of is that I think the Giants have a better quarterback play in Jackson Dart if he doesn't get hurt out there. So I would go with the Giants. If you told me I had to bet a game or bet this, I would go with the Giants.
I'm already ready for the offseason when the Giants, everybody's going to be like, oh, they're getting Neighbors back. They're getting Scatabo back. Dart in his second season. I can already hear these narratives.
Did you see the Malik Neighbors IHOP commercial?
Yeah, I liked it.
It was funny.
Yeah, great job. All right. And the other game in the afternoon window, this is going to be lonely on a Sunday afternoon between Giants, Raiders, and
the Philadelphia Eagles taking on the Buffalo Bills.
Well, that's a game. Eagles have clinched the NFC East, the first back-to-back winner in the NFC East in 21 years. And it's a pick 'em. Bills still have designs on the AFC East title and perhaps a number one seed. So the Bills have everything to play for. Philly just playing for seeding. So again, that's one of those things where it's like, hey, we haven't loved Philly this year, and who knows how they end up playing this one as they just jockey for seeding in the NFC playoffs. No play for me. Sunday night.
Oh, this is the big one, and I will be a big San Francisco 49ers fans. Isaiah, if you're back there, let's go 49ers, baby. Bears versus the 49ers.
I'm on the Niners. That was my third play, guessing lines. It wasn't available during guessing lines, but I bet it after at -3. That's where it is now. I saw some 3.5s tick up there at some point, but we're showing 3 here at Circa. Bears still trying to win the NFC North. And still could get the number one seed if things broke their way, but they need help. So the Bears, the Niners control their own destiny, as we mentioned, with the Seahawks for the number one seed. But if the Bears can figure out how to beat the Niners and get help, then they too have a shot at the number one seed. Either way, the Bears are trying to stave off the Packers for the NFC North title. But I like the Niners here. I think they're the better football team. Again, the Bears plus 21 in turnover differential, leads the NFL, and 6 wins this year when trailing in the final 2 minutes, the cardiac kids of the NFL this year. I'm on the Niners.
We don't want to talk about last week. That was awful. One of the most gut-punching losses as a sports fan.
It's brutal.
Ugh.
Again, my theory, the Hail Miriam last year when Washington beat the Bears, the universe said to the Bears, we're taking this game away from you, but next year we're giving you everything. And finally, the Rams in Atlanta on Monday night. Rams are 8-point favorites on the road. I want new part of that. Rams right now, the Rams who most of us consider the best team in the NFL at this moment, the 6th seed in the NFC playoffs. It's incredible. What a year. That sums it all up. The Rams who most consider the best team are the number 6th seed right at this moment in the NFC. We'll come back. Dr. Bob joins us with his play of the week on a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
Back on the numbers game live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander on this Friday morning, day after Christmas. Merry Christmas once again to you and yours. Happy New Year as we transition from Christmas to New Year's. By the way, what is the statute of limitations on saying Merry Christmas? I think that ends after today. Do we all agree on that? one day after, and then starting the 27th, you transition to Happy New Year. I think that's the agreement. Chris Heath on Twitter, definitely an unnecessary R role for Wyatt on Razor, and heel is an unnecessary term for a bad guy. It's going after Wyatt. Can I go after Wyatt for a second on something? We just did the whip around where we're supposed to go through every NFL game. I think we missed like three or four games. Man had one job. Wyatt Tomchek, everybody. I love him. Steve the Proxy. Also watching the Spurs take down OKC again triggered a bet for me. Oh, he made a cross-sport parlay, Steve the Proxy did. He said, long shot, but 200-1 for the Spurs to win the West, Houston to win the AFC, and Indiana to make the NCAA final in football. Secret sushi on me if it comes home. Wishing the ANG team a happy and healthy holiday and new year. Happy and healthy holiday and new year to you as well, Steve the Proxy. Once again, 200-1 on Spurs to win the West, Texans to win the AFC, Hoosiers to make the NCAA football final. You know, 200-1 sounds like a good number on that. Ace de Cardano, are you sure you're sure the Rams are going to win an NFC title game in Philly against a finally healthy Eagles team? Remember the Eagles won the Super Bowl last year, but you remember who the team was that had the ball in the snow with a chance to beat them? That was the Rams. I'm kind of sure this year. Can the Eagles really just press a button and turn it around? I'll believe it when I see it this year. With respect, because obviously they're the Super Bowl champs. Rideco 99. Just FYI, Boston to beat San Antonio 300-1 at Bet365. I don't want any part of an exacted though, Rideco. I just want the matchup at 125-1. K-Flow, K-Florenz, one who's been giving us all our Survivor numbers, he says, been thinking about the Giants situation if they secure the number one pick. Dart was a Dable pick, to a lesser degree Joe Shane. With Dable gone and Shane possibly gone, is it out of the realm of possibility they trade Dart and not the pick? Never would happen with the Jets, but the Raiders or Rams if Stafford retires, get two number ones or number one and a high number two while restarting the rookie contract clock with Mendoza or Dante Moore? I don't know enough about where the Giants front office minds are about Dart, but my impression is they love the guy. So you might be right. Maybe I don't know what their true thinking is, but every impression that I've gotten so far, they are all about Jackson Dart. Dr. Bob joins us as he does each and every Friday morning. Fezzik is again sick. Felica's on a cruise, but this guy is a stalwart and he shows up on the day after Christmas. Bob, Merry Christmas to you. Happy New Year. Bob, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line at Dr. Bob Sports on Twitter, drbobsports.com on the World Wide Web. How you doing, Bob?
Doing all right. Is Fezzik on a cruise or did he get sick from a cruise?
Felica's on a cruise. Fezzik, not on a cruise.
Felica's going to get sick because he's on a cruise. Because everyone that goes on a cruise, I went to a Disney cruise with my family. My kids are young, and we all got COVID. And then my sister was on a cruise, a Carnival cruise or something, with my stepmother and whatnot. And she came back. They all had COVID. I'm like, Jesus. You can't go on a cruise without getting sick. So.
It's amazing. For as many people who love cruises, you hear horror stories as much on the other side. Getting sick, getting abducted, getting thrown off the side of the ship in a mysterious murder. Like, I mean, there's so much stuff. I've never been on one of those. Never.
Yeah, I don't think you're missing much.
Okay.
My jam, but I would do like a tour, what is it, Mediterranean tour or something like that in Europe, and you're popping off at these different islands and you're in the south of Europe or something like that. That would be cool.
Sounds great. Sounds great in theory. I just think I would be like, I don't know. I think I want to be on this boat.
Like let me off here. Yeah, I got
you. Yeah, let me off this lawless ship.
Those people weren't thrown overboard. Maybe they jumped.
Maybe they jumped. Allegedly, Bob. I should have thrown in the word allegedly. All right, it's kind enough. You're very kind to be here this morning. Hope your family had a good Christmas. Hope the kids are happy with their gifts. You are always giving us gifts, and you have a play of the week in the National Football League. What do you have for us?
Well, I don't have. I mean, it's a half-unit play, but I released Cleveland as a best bet over Pittsburgh at +4 early in the week. It is now down to +3, -105, but I think it's still worth half a unit. Obviously, you know, DK Metcalf is suspended for the Steelers. And it's really, I don't really see how the Steelers really function without Metcalf's vertical threat. This season, the Steelers are averaging 3.5 more yards per play with Metcalf on the field than without. He's averaging 0.47 expected points added per target, more than the backup Calvin Austin. That works out to about 3 points per game. I only adjusted 2 points for Metcalf being out, but it could be more based on his the difference between him and Austin's production. Cleveland also matches up pretty well. They have a 62% high single high safety rate. And without, you know, normally a deep threat can hurt that kind of defense. The Steelers don't really have that now. And the Steelers rank 27th relatively against single high coverage versus two high coverages. And now they don't have Metcalf, so that's going to be even worse. Pittsburgh likes to target tight ends a lot, the fourth most in the league. And they'll probably even go more to the tight ends with Metcalf out. But Cleveland's defense is eighth in the league defending tight ends, so they match up pretty well there. And then you have Myles Garrett, who's having a career season, you know, and already a Hall of Fame career. And he's lined up against Pittsburgh's backup left tackle, Dylan Cook. So he should have a good game there. So I don't think Pittsburgh's going to be able to throw much. They do run the ball well, but Cleveland's defense is conceding a league-low 35% rush success rate. So Cleveland's very good against the run. And Pittsburgh, I think, running his ball is all they can probably do here. And I don't think they're going to do that very well either. As far as the other side of the ball, I don't love Shedeur Sanders, but he has been really good on screen passes. He's averaging 13 yards per pass play on screens, which is ridiculous. And Kevin Stefanski, the head coach, should be able to dial up some interesting screens, take advantage of the Steelers linebacker, especially Patrick Queen. He's turned the most yards in the league in coverage this year, and I think Stefanski will find a way to take advantage of Queen. So I think there's a lot of things going on that really favor Cleveland here matchup-wise. Pittsburgh's matchup's not so good. They now have to move Jalen Ramsey back to nickelback with Brandon Echols, the cornerback, likely out. So they move him back to nickelback. He had, in the recent weeks, been playing more safety. And since he moved to free safety, Pittsburgh's defense has ranked 10th in the league. When Ramsey was at nickelback earlier in the season, Pittsburgh's defense ranked 25th in the league. So they kind of found what worked for them with Ramsey at safety. But now Ramsey's going to have to go back to playing nickelback. That could hurt Pittsburgh's defense. And also, it's also possible the Steelers rest some borderline players that are banged up. If Baltimore loses Saturday night, they could rest some players, so that could help. I'm not counting on that, but it's certainly possible. So I think there's some things going on with Cleveland here that makes them a good matchup. So Cleveland plus three is a half unit play.
Cleveland plus three is a half unit play. What was that Shedeur Sanders screen stat again?
He's averaging 13.1 yards on screen passes.
Oh my God.
It's ridiculous. Like, normally good is like 8. You know, I mean, he's averaging 13.
What I love about stats like that, Bob, is though, you know, this, the old Dean Oliver, the NBA analytics guy, his quote, which is, our eyes see one game better than analytics, but analytics see all games better than we do. This is just a simple stat, which I think our eyes wouldn't necessarily process watching Shedeur. We're like, wow, maybe he's not that bad after all. But there you go. There's something that's completely unsustainable.
But it might be sustainable in this game because the Steelers are horrible, defending that.
Right. Understood.
It might work out here.
We have 1 minute left, Bob. I've asked you this about college football, but let me ask you this about pro football. I know you don't necessarily do like rankings necessarily, but like in terms of your numbers, who's the best team in the league? Give me the top three teams that you have, or the best anyway.
I think the Rams are clearly the best team in the league. And, you know, with Philly getting healthier, I could move them ahead of Seattle, which would, you know, they're kind of battling out for second and third. But I think Philly, legit, if they're healthy and they've been playing better defensively, I think Philly is probably the second best team in the league going forward. I don't think they've shown it yet, but I think there's still enough there to say, you know, give them the benefit of the doubt. And they might be my second favorite team, and then Seattle.
Wow.
So, I'm the Rams in Seattle all year, but I think Philly could sneak up there as they're getting healthier.
Who's your best AFC team?
I think Buffalo.
Buffalo. Yeah. Okay. There you go.
There's problems with every AFC team. I mean, there's holes you can pick at every single AFC team, but I think Buffalo with quarterback, you know, being the best quarterback that's probably going to be in the playoffs. I think Buffalo.
Bob, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right. All right, buddy.
Dr. Bob, everybody, at drbobsports.com. Again, free analysis. All these bowl games, like we have three bowl games today, all bowl season long, all college football season long, all NFL season long, in addition to the plays he gives out to his clients. Free analysis. You can read about all the games beyond that as well. Jeff Parlay on the other side. How about that? Next on A Numbers Game.